let's see our Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan or your notebook. If you guys want to get notebooks for your lesson plans, we have them in the Cornerstone Bookstore. You can get a notebook like this and just collect them so you can keep them in a nice place. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Look to the person next to you and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Now look to the person next to you and say, what am I supposed to be ready for? Who's the man this morning? We started a three-part series last week on knowing God's will. And we are going to continue today and then finish it up next week. When we talk about knowing God's will, it is not only, God, do I buy this house? Or God, do I go to this church? Or God, do I give to this ministry? Or God, do I marry this woman or guy? Whatever. It's also, God, why is this happening to me? Or why didn't this happen to me? Or, why am I feeling this way? This is not fair. We all have questions like this for God all the time. And you always will have questions for God. So the question is, how do I know? And so we're going to, hopefully, between last week, if you weren't here, get the CD. We have a CD of the sermon in the bookstore this week and next week. It'll help you begin to understand more clearly how to understand what God wants for your life. But what I want to do today is just go over, in the beginning, is just go over a few things that we talked about last week, a few foundational facts about God's will we talked about last week. Let's look in our notes. It says, God's plans are worth finding out. Okay? His plan for your life and what he wants for you is worth you finding out. In other words, his plans are better than yours, so don't think, well, if I get it, no big deal. It is a big deal. Number two, discovering his will is not an exact science. It requires practice. In other words, sometimes he'll show you his will through circumstances. He'll speak to your heart. He'll use godly counsel. It's not an exact science. If I do these three things, I get it. Number three, God has more time, resources, and ideas than we can imagine. If God has called you to do something, you have to understand he's asking you to do something, or he's asking you to endure something based on his resources, not yours. So when you feel like you can't, that is not an excuse or a reason to think he's not asking you to do something. It's based on what he has. He may be getting ready to equip you with something you don't have to enable you to do what he's calling you to do. Four, discovering his will is a process. In other words, he might not tell you the whole story. Just like John, we just prayed for John. John's leaving, but he didn't tell John where he's going. All he told John was leave. Well, that don't seem fair. Come on, God, can't you help brother out? I got a family. You know, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How am I going to eat? He said, don't worry about that. Just trust me. That's God. He does that. So if you feel like God's leading you somewhere and you just feel like you're supposed to go or you're supposed to say no, you're supposed to say yes, but you don't understand what's next, that's okay. It's a process. He'll tell you the next move once you make the first one. Okay? Until you make the first one, he won't tell you the second one in some instances. Four non-negotiables of God's will. God's plans for your life cannot contradict his word or require you to sin. He can never contradict his word. You see these people on TV, oh, I killed my parents because I heard from God. It's not the God of the Bible. They heard from the devil. That's their God, but not this God. God cannot lie. Someone might have said to you, is there anything God can't do? There are several things he can't do. He cannot lie. He cannot contradict himself. He cannot go against his own nature. Okay, so he will never ask you to do something that contradicts his will. So if you have a feeling or desire or interest to do something, but it's really not in line with the word of God, it's kind of a compromise, it's not God. Number two, God's plans for your life will require obedience to God through faith. Faith is walking in the unknown. Walking in the unknown. Hebrews 11:1. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. When you start to have everything figured out, watch out. That's when God's going to say, it's time to step out. And don't think that stepping out, which is into darkness or the unknown, is a bad thing. That's how God works. Number three, God's plans are always part of his molding and shaping of your life. My daughter is an artistic young lady, and we were eating mashed potatoes one night. And she got bored of her mashed potatoes. And she just was doing like this while we were talking. All of a sudden, there was a dove in her mashed potatoes. Perfect little dove. It was real cute and everything, and we all looked at it, and, okay. Then I eat it. I didn't eat it. I think I squished it. But mashed potatoes are soft, at least they're supposed to be soft. I don't know what your mashed potatoes are like, but they're supposed to be soft. My wife's mashed potatoes are soft, but I don't know about yours. But clay, when you mold and shape clay. Sometimes it's not soft, and you have to do this to it. Amen? Or put water on it, or soften it up. Well, we are clay. And sometimes God has to, because we're hard-headed. So he may be sending you through something now, and it hurts because you're hard-headed. It hurts because it's the fifth time. Or the tenth. Because you didn't learn the first time. I was in a hospital with a friend of mine. He had surgery on his throat, and he was like, what's God doing to me? What's God trying to teach me? And I said, I don't know what he's trying to teach you, but I can tell you this is the third time you've been in the hospital. And I got a feeling you're not learning whatever he's trying to teach you. And God is always molding and shaping us. Number four, God's plans always promote his righteousness, not your righteousness. God may ask you to do something that's against the way of the world and apologize to someone. Give a little more money than you have to. A little more kindness than you have to. Be a little more patient than you used to. Because he wants the glory, not you. He doesn't want you to get it. So his plans, it's part of his mold and shaping. It's not sin. And in the end, he has to look good. Now, I want to read to you Romans 12:1 and 2. Then we're going to look at the foundational truth for today. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, or I beseech you therefore, my brothers, depending from the east side or the west side. I beseech you therefore, my brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Here's the foundational truth today. Is that so many times we want God to give us an answer. Give us direction. Give us information. And God says, you know what? Don't look for my answer. Don't look for my information. Don't look for my wisdom before you look for me. Before you look for me. In other words, stop looking for what I'm going to give you and look for how much I love you. Get to know me as a person. Our foundational truth today is instead of seeking the will of God, seek God himself. And his will becomes plain to you. When you find God, guess what? You will know better what his heart is. Sometimes my kids will ask me questions without asking me. They'll talk about me right over there, loud enough for me to hear them. And they'll say, do you think daddy will do this? Do you think daddy will do this? Do you think? And they'll go, nah, he won't do that. And what they're trying to do is get me to kind of, oh, okay, I'll do it, like, you know, butt in. But what I hear them saying is that he probably won't do this, or nah, he won't do that. You know how daddy is. Daddy's like da-da-da-da-da, so he won't ever do that. And what they're doing is they're trying to play reverse psychology on a brother. But their conversation is based on what they know about me and what how they know I will react to certain things based on our relationship. If you don't know God, you won't understand anything, the reason why he does what he does. You won't be able to see good in anything. You may be looking at John and say, that's irresponsible for him to leave a job without having another job. Because you don't know God. All you know is the way of the world. But when you know God, and you know how faithful he is, how powerful he is, how mysterious he can be in someone's life, when you know how outside of time he exists, how much resources he have, how last minute he can be at times, when you know him as being totally faithful all the time, he never leaves you or forsakes you, when you know that, then some of the things you worry about, you wouldn't worry about. Amen. Some of y'all are worried about paying your rent in 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. He's got 14 days. And you're tripping because you don't think God can get you $300 in 14 days. Because you've added up all your bills and added up all your checks and don't come out. You don't know God. You don't know God. God is a drillionaire. He's a godzillionaire. He's got big money. He got more money than anybody. Matter of fact, all the money you got is his. If he wants to take that person's money and give it to you, he can. And it's not robbery. It's God. That's a good thing about God. I love to see when God takes the people, stuff from the unrighteous and give it to the righteous. That is hilarious to me. I remember he also takes stuff from the righteous and gives it to the unrighteous because he knows it's going to hurt the righteous. I had a car once when I was playing football. I bought a Mercedes-Benz. Worst mistake I made because the Mercedes that I had was no good. Not the Mercedes is no good. The one I had, it was so bad. I would get a bill just from driving past the repairman because he would say, I saw your car. Here's the bill. I hated that car. And I said, Lord, I want to get rid of this car. And I remember when I sold this car. I was so happy. I got a little Toyota van. I was so happy. And the guy by my car, no exaggeration. And I was dying laughing because I knew it was God. He was like, he had the papers. He's like, he said these words. I don't know why I'm buying this car. I don't need a car. And he's looking through the papers and I'm just. In my mind, I'm thinking, sign the paper, sign the paper. And I'm like, man, it's a great car. You're going to look so good in that car, man. You know, and he said, I don't know why I'm buying this car. And I remember him driving off with it, and I was like, God, thank you. And God just said, here you go. This has been a headache. I'm going to move it. God. And so what we got to do is we got to say, God, I know you could do anything. And if you're calling me over here, I don't have to worry about how, when. With whom? You'll take care of that, right?
Yes.
What do you want me to do? So my challenge to you today is you have to seek God and everything else will be plain. Seek God. Stop trying to get a handout from him. Tell me now. He's not going to tell you. Don't play that game.
He says, I want you to know me. So let's read the verses again.
One, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And in verse 2, we're going to focus on first. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove. What is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God? Look in your notes. One, his will is good. God's will is good, beneficial, and the best thing for us. Mm-hmm. You lost your job, it's going to be the best thing for you. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all are getting sick, it's exactly what you need. Whenever I get sick, God says to me, it's the only way I can slow you down. Lay in bed. I can't remember, a few months ago, I got real sick, and I was real sick. I really couldn't do anything. And I remember laying in bed going, I felt justified to rest. That's a workaholic talking. But God just said, lay in that bed. And you know what? It was the best thing for me. His will is good. Number 2, his will is acceptable. It's acceptable. God's will is the most acceptable plan for your life. There's nothing about it that's unacceptable. It's acceptable to God. His will is perfect. God's will is completely sufficient for the perfection of man or the maturing process of man. It is exactly what you need to make you into what he wants you to be. Number four, you can prove his will or verify. You'll be able to verify, acknowledge, and confirm. You'll be able to verify, acknowledge, and confirm. You will know. Okay? How do we do that? Let's look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number one, conformation. Conformation is our work of shaping ourselves from the outside in by fitting into the mold of the world. We are conformed to the world every day. Remember when you were in high school? Okay, I'm going to be able to tell how old y'all are. How many of y'all remember bell bottoms? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Platform shoes for the brothers. Amen.
Amen.
Little stitch pants on the side. That might not have been in your neighborhood, but we had it right on here, a little stitch on the side. Okay. Afros. Not many of y'all probably had afros. I had a 12-inch afro. Check out the webpage, church webpage. It's on there. It's like that big. When you go to school or a job, what do? You look at what everybody else is doing, and you start dressing like them. You start talking like them. You start telling jokes like them. You start gossiping like them. You start acting like them. He said, don't do that anymore. You buy a car like them, a house like them. You desire to have a woman like them. You desire to have a body like them. Don't do that anymore. Don't try to fit into the mold of the world. You can't fit into the mold of the world and then walk with God at the same time. We're trying to live a double life. Look in your notes. It says, stop trying to look like the world be accepted by the world and act like the world. If you look at the clothes the devil makes, he's just making women show more and more and more and more of their body. And so what do Christians do? They just follow along and show more and more. You know what? Because that's the way it is. No, that's the way the world is. Ask yourself this question. Why do you eat the food you eat? Is it because the world does? Why do you dress the way you do? Why do you drive the car you do? Now, maybe you just like the clothes you have and there's nothing wrong with them. That's fine. But you need to put your whole life under a microscope and say, how much of this is influenced by the world? The Bible says don't be conformed by the world. Don't let the world give you cues on how to act, how to treat your friends, your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your kids. Let the Bible dictate that to you. And so what he's saying here is first, stop trying to fit into this to the shape of the world. Stop trying to act like the world and look like the world and be accepted by the world. Stop being consumed with that preoccupation. Now, that's a hard thing to do. Matter of fact, that is a very difficult thing to do because we've been trained so long, fit in and be accepted. And what he's saying is don't worry about being accepted. You know, when we see people who don't care about being accepted, we call them arrogant. Some of the people you call arrogant, ain't nothing wrong with them. They're just confident. They're not worried about what people think. That's not arrogance. You not need to be worried about what people think. The Bible says, don't fear man who can only kill your body. Fear God who kills your body and your soul. He says, no, do not be influenced. You follow people who are following Christ only because they're going to lead you to Christ. And so he says here, the first thing, if you want to know God's will, first thing you got to stop doing is you got to stop trying to fit in over here. Stop trying to fit in over here. So my challenge to you is, as a thought process, is start asking yourself about every area and aspect of your life and ask yourself why you do those things. And then ask yourself, are they biblically based? And is it the best thing for you? I was telling you, I mentioned a few weeks ago about the food in the grocery store, how all the food in the middle of the grocery store is not from God. Now you're saying, man, that's kind of reaching. Let me explain what I mean by that. You have all the aisles, and everything in the aisles, other than the water and the vegetables that are frozen, God didn't make those things. Now, it doesn't mean you can't eat them. But when I say they're not from God, it means that he didn't make it. What he made is on the outside of the grocery store. Vegetables, fruits, meats, dairy. But everything on the inside is kind of man-made. Well, does it mean you can't eat that stuff? No, not really. But ask yourself, is it any good for you? Think about it. Do you do it just because it's there? Do you do it because man told you it was good for you? I'm trying to eat better, and I go into my pantry every day, probably 10 times a day, and I stand there and I look at all the stuff in it. And I ask my wife, can I eat this? No. Can I eat this? No. Can I eat this? No. And then there was a bag in there of granola. It said 100% natural. So I grabbed it, started eating it. It's good. Raisins in it, nuts, granola. It's crunchy. It's chewy. And I have a compulsive, addictive personality. It's called ADD. I have ADD. Is that what it is? ADD? It's when you, what is it? What is it? OCD. No, ADD is. I have that too. It's a combination. It's ADDC. So I'll sit there. It's like, you know how they have the Girl Scout cookies just got sold? You know those shortbread cookies? And the sugar cookies? See, I could eat the whole thing. Just keep eating it. So I'm sitting there eating this granola. And I'm looking at the bag, it says 100% natural. I'm eating it for like 3 days. You know, just handfuls. I put in a cup and just chew on it because I'm thinking it's healthy. You know, I'm not eating other junk. Then I asked my wife, I said, you know, why is this stuff so sweet? No, I said to myself, my wife, this stuff is good, huh? It's sweet. And she says, oh, yeah, that's because it's sugar-coated. It's got sugar all over it. Now I went back to the bag. I said, it says 100% natural. Oh, yeah, the sugar is 100% natural. There's something in there 100% natural, but they put sugar all over it to make it sweet. They lied to you. They even tricked me. And so just man, because man tells you it's good, doesn't mean it's good. You got to say, God, what do you want me to do? And what the world will tell you is okay doesn't mean it's okay with God. Now, am I saying granola is not okay with God? Absolutely not. But what I'm telling you is that what you're told is not always what it means. God, here's why I'm doing all this stuff. You know what? I don't need this car. I don't need all these clothes. We went to Africa for 2 weeks, and there were two or three young men. I don't know if any women did this. I doubt it. But there was one or two or three young men who went to Africa for 2 weeks with us with one backpack of clothes. Now, we had trunks. Matter of fact, I had a lot of bags. I had computers and stuff and all that stuff, but people had bags. These guys got on a plane right here in San Diego for 2 weeks with a backpack. And I'm thinking, oh, you are going to be funky. You are going to stink. Okay. You know what? They were fine. I never noticed them wearing the same stuff, even though I had to. But you know what? They live on so much less. If you go home today and you look at your house, you got more food you're going to eat. You got more clothes you're going to wear. You got more square footage you're ever going to enjoy. And you know why? Because that's what the world does. He says, don't be conformed to the world. He says, listen to what it says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, metamorpho. God's work of changing us from the inside out. God's work of changing us from the inside out by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. When a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, you know what happens to it? It goes into a little cocoon, and you know what it does? It dissolves and becomes a liquid. and starts all over again. It dissolves completely and becomes a liquid inside that little case, the little cocoon, and it comes out a butterfly. God wants to change you from the inside out. Stop trying to conform, put yourself like the world so you could fit in. And go over here and let me change you from the inside out. Because as long as you have fellowship with the darkness, you can't understand the plans of the light. Those two things don't go together. And so we're over here trying to look like the world and act like the world, yet we want to know what God wants. God's over here saying, well, you need to come out of the darkness first. Because my plans, you can only see when you're in the light. You can only understand them and receive them when the light's in you. Amen. So he says, stop trying to be conformed, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it says a renewed mind. Look in your lesson plan. It says a changed mind, a reverse of one's mind, thoughts and actions. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I can't do it. Well, then you'll be a failure then. I'm no good. Then you're no good. I'm so ugly. Then you're ugly. I'm so sad. Then you're sad. Well, if you keep telling yourself that, that's what you'll be. But if you start saying, you know what? I'm a sinner, but God loves me. Okay. I messed up, but God forgave me. All right. If you think of what's in the Bible, you know what the thing about the Bible is that God knows all your junk. And he loves you anyway. I mean, when you pray, dear God, oh, Lord, I love you, I love you. Hey, Lord, you see my praying? Yeah, it was all about you, wasn't it? You weren't really telling the truth when you said you love me, because I saw you last night. But you know what? I love you anyway. I forgive you anyway. You got to think, your thoughts need to be according to what the Bible says. And when you give yourself to the Lord, you get transformed from the inside out. Guess what? He starts to show you how to think. He starts to renew your mind and shows you how to react. He starts to show you how to process information, process different experiences. And when that process comes and your mind gets renewed, you start to prove and understand what his will is more and more clearly. Remember the cameras that you had to focus manually? You had to turn the lens until it looked just right? When your mind is renewed, after you surrender your life to him, after he's transforming you, your mind gets renewed and he takes the focus of your heart and he does this. And you begin to understand, oh yeah, now I see. Now I understand. I understand why that person didn't like me. I was an idiot. I understand why we didn't get along. We were different. I understand now why I lost that job. I understand why my car got stolen. I understand now. He starts to renew your mind and he starts to bring into focus his will. But it's not until he renews your mind, changes your mind, fixes your mind. Some of us process information backwards. Some of us process information backwards. When we were little kids, we got treated in a messed up way, and we process information. Someone smiles at us, we think they like us and want to marry us or have sex with us. It's not true. Someone tells you the truth and it hurts, and you think they don't like you. It's not necessarily true. The Bible says the wounds of a friend are faithful. Some of us get hurt and we feel like we have to hurt the next person worse. It's not biblical. We process information wrong. When you are transformed and God renews your mind, he shows you, this is how I want you to do it. This is how I want you to do it. Two things you must do. Look at verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Number one, provide yourself a holy, acceptable sacrifice to God. Holy means set aside for divine service. In your notes, set aside for divine service. God, here I am. I'm reporting for duty. Do you report for duty every day? Or do you get up and do your own thing? Number two, when they would sacrifice an animal in the Old Testament, it had to be without blemish or illness, without blemish or illness, without handicap, without association to the world. That was an animal that was sacrificed in the Old Testament. There's some references there for you to look up later. It doesn't mean you can't be handicapped. But that was the standard for sacrifice in the Old Testament. As far as us, in your notes it says, give God the very best you have to offer in quality, effort, and dedication. Give God your best. How many of y'all pray like this? Or have had this prayer experience? Dear God, dear Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to. Thank you for tonight. Oh, amen. Whew. Woo! Hallelujah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's not your best. You know what God says? You know, I stand out here and shake hands all the time at the door, and it's very difficult for me to not be rude, because as I'm talking to one person, another person will come and start talking. They don't wait, they just start talking. And another person over here waves. So one way or another, someone's going to be offended. Because if I ignore the person that's talking to me, even though I'm talking to somebody else, then I'm rude to them. If I don't wave to this person, then I'm rude to them. But if I do, then I'm rude to this person. So if I've been rude to you, I apologize, but I really can't do that. I can only do one at a time. If my eyes did like that, and I had a third eye, then I'd be cool. But please, if you see that going on, just understand if I ignore you that I'm talking to somebody, I'm trying to be, but one way or another, someone's going to be offended. But when you do talk to somebody, you want to do your best to look at them and pay attention. When you talk to God and you serve God and you're reading the Bible, you're praying, whatever you're doing, you want to give him your undivided attention. That's your best. Every day before church, I have to get up in the morning and go run. Because if I just get up, get dressed, take a shower, and come here, I'm just like, ugh. Even though I'm, you know, clean physically, took a shower and I'm awake, I'm not awake. But if I run hard in the morning and get my endorphins in my brain firing, and I'm sweating, and then I come, I'm like this, yeah, okay, ready, ready, ready. I'm driving here, I'm up, I'm awake. That's better than if I don't. Well, God says, listen, when you do something for me, I want you like that. Yes, sir. So that means I got good extra time to do that. Read my stuff, do that. Think about it. I gotta do all that if I'm gonna give him my best. You gotta figure out what's your best. When's the best time for you to read your Bible? When's the best time for you to study? How's the best time for you to study? Give God your best. When you report for duty in the morning, say, God, what do you want me to do? When he tells you to witness to somebody, get ready to do that. Pray for that person. Review your verses. When you go to work, say, God, use me today. When you come to church with your mind awake, with your notes, your pen, and if you need an extra notebook, bring it, your Bible. Get ready. Get ready. Give God your best. Stop trying to be molded into the shape of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind and give God your very best. Then the next thing it says, present your body a living sacrifice. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Romans 6:13, you can read that later. It says to present your instruments, your members, your hands, your feet, your mouth, as instruments of righteousness. Lord, these hands belong to you to be used only for righteousness. This mouth belongs to you only for righteousness. My feet, my legs, my eyes, my ears, they are to only be used for your righteousness. That's what holy is. They're not going to be used for the world and for you, for the world and for you. They're going to be used only for you. That's what God wants. Now, this is all in the process. You say, what does this have to do with knowing God's will? When you do this, he shapes you and molds you just like clay. The clay can't be on the wheel and then jump off the wheel and jump back on the wheel and then jump off the wheel for the potter to mold and shape it when it wants. The clay has to stay on the wheel and be molded and shaped by the potter all the time in order to get to where the potter wants it to be. In your notes, as a burnt sacrifice, is consumed by holy fire unto death, so you and I should be consumed by the Holy Spirit fire unto life. Lord, I'm on the altar. Burn me up. Consume me. Consume my mind. In your notes, when one of your members, your hand, your mouth, your eyes, your ear, commits a sin, your heart should grieve. Your members must be slaves unto righteousness. If you're ever going to learn, I think one of the hardest things to play is a guitar, to me. Many people do it every day, it's a common thing, but when I look at doing two things like that, that to me, in the drums, both feet, I mean, all that stuff is, but I never, you know, never did it, don't know how to do it, so of course it's difficult. But if I wanted to learn, I would have to make my hands, my feet, my fingers be my slaves. In other words, I have to make them, like I like the piano, I would have to make them do this over and over and over, and when I'm tired, over and over and over again. They have to obey me. They can't obey, I can't obey them. And so what he's saying here is, you have to make your mouth, your words obey you. What you look at obey you. What you think about obey you. Look what it says. It says in your notes, your eyes, keep your eyes pure. Job 31, 1. Job made a covenant, a deal with his eyes, never to look on a woman in lust. And you say, well, man, that's hard. Don't look then. Walk around like this. If you got a problem, walk around like this. What's the matter, Daddy? Daddy got a problem. Lift holy hands to the Lord, 1 Timothy 2:8. Lift holy hands to the Lord. Don't let your hands do anything that causes your heart to grieve. Remember the Bible says if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. What Jesus is saying is don't sin with your hands. Do it tying behind your back. Do not run after desires of the flesh with your legs. Think on spiritual things. Say only things that are edifying. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. That includes curse words. Includes gossip. Christians gossip like mad. Everybody does. Christians lie. When I hired my secretary, I said, listen, don't believe anything anyone tells you on the phone. Verify everything. When she first started working with me, she said, you don't trust me. I said, no, I don't. I don't trust anything. I don't even trust myself. I double, triple check everything. Just get used to it. That's the way I am. I double check myself. I put my wallet in my bag before I get on the plane. I put it in the night before. I get up, I look at it. I get in the car, I look at it. Before I get out the airport, I look at it. I just keep making sure. Listen, as a Christian, don't gossip. Try today not talking about anybody negatively. See how much talking you don't do. And don't listen to someone else talking to somebody and saying, well, I'm not doing the talking. Yeah, but you're over there going, Your heart. Let God take out your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. What is my point? My point is this. God, all this is yours. You know what it says? It's to present your body a living sacrifice. How many times have you said, they need prayer? Oh, she really needs to read her Bible. She needs to go to church. You know what this says? Present your body. Your body. You. God, here I am. I want your Holy Spirit fire to consume me. Change the way I think. Change the way I process. And then after that happens, what you want from me, I'll know. You know what's the neat thing about God? You can't trust somebody any further than you know him. You can't understand anybody any further than you know him. If you don't know somebody, don't pass judgment on them because you don't know what you're talking about.
Same with God. But when you start to know God, guess what happens? You begin to trust him so much that whatever he does, you say, okay. Because you just know in the end, it's going to be good. And him renewing your mind to where you could just trust him. And when you can get to that point where you could trust him with anything, then he could take your life and use it in amazing ways because he knows you're going to be faithful. But if you're over here trying to fit in with the world, trying to get information from him, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, there are people here today who you spoke to. You told them clearer, maybe, than ever they heard before, everything's going to be okay. You told them, trust me. You told them, don't do what you're thinking about doing. Or do what you think you should do. But what you heard today is that God loves you. And as the music's playing, some of y'all today need to say, Lord, I need to lay my life down at the altar as a living sacrifice, a functioning sacrifice. And I want to do that today. As I'm talking right now, whether you're in the lobby or Casa Real where the TV is or in this sanctuary, as I'm talking, just get up out of your seat, come down to the altar. If today is the day for you to lay your life as a living sacrifice, it may be for salvation, it may be for prayer, it may be for encouragement, but you're saying today, Lord, here I am, renew my mind. Just get up out of your seat and come down to the altar. If you're in the other room, just get up right now. Walk out of that room and come here into the sanctuary. God bless you. Just come stand right up here and kneel down if you want. If you're in the other room in the lobby, just get up right now. You know your heart's pounding. And you know God's calling you. Just get up. God wants you today. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know it's you. You know it's time to walk away from the world. The world has been lying to you. It's been telling you everything's 100% natural when in fact they've been lying. Just get up out of your seat. If you're in Casa Real and you're listening on TV, you're looking around the room wondering if anyone's going to get up. Don't worry about anybody else. Straighten your legs, move your feet, your body will rise and follow. Tell those feet to walk you over here. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Anybody else in this room here, get up out of your seat. Good. God bless you. God wants to cleanse you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to renew you. He wants to redirect your life. We'll wait. Lord, we thank you for being good. We thank you for being patient. All these people, you know them. They came here with a need. Hopefully, they found an answer. They came here with a burden. Hopefully, they're leaving with a light heart. God bless you. Come on in. Come on up. Get up out of your seat. God bless you. Good. 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 Lord, you have more time than we have, more resources, more ideas, more power, more strength, and all we need to do is trust you. Anybody else, get up out of your seat. Come on down here. Lord, I want to pray for all these people and anyone else walking up here right now. Holy Spirit, we want to ask you, consume them. Fill them. Mold them like clay. We pray you renew their mind. We pray that you take out their heart of stone, put in a heart of flesh, put your words in their tongue, your ideas in their head, your love in their heart, your vision in their eyes. Dear God, we thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you are so patient. And we pray, shape us
mold us, transform us. Give us the courage to walk away from the mold of the world. Give us that courage. Lord, give us the wisdom to identify the areas of our life that are influenced by the world. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All you people that are down here, I want to say something to you. God loves you. He's got a good plan for your life. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Exactly. He's got it all mapped out. Okay? You can't surprise him. Your problem is not too big for him. All you have to do is every day is do what he says. How do you know that? You read the book, pray, you come to church, you hang around people who are doing what he says, and every day you do a better and better job of doing what he says. And all of a sudden, stuff happens. You will never, ever, 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 for the rest of your life, figure out what his plan is. All you do is you walk in it, and it'll happen a little bit at a time. That's just the way it is, by faith. Amen? So what we're going to do from you, what's your name? Colleen. Where are you from? London. You from London? Oh, you had that accent, Colleen. I love that accent. From you over, we're going to have you all walk over there in a minute. What's your name? Monique. From you over, we're going to have you all walk over there, and they're going to pray for you. And all y'all are going to bring somebody next week. I want to ask something to all y'all, especially in the lobby in Casa Real. We obviously have a lot of people in overflow. In the 8:30 service, there's about 200 or 300 empty seats. If you don't mind, especially if you're a regular and this is your church and you don't mind, we'd ask you to come then so visitors can come and get in here in this service. So if you don't mind, we'd love to have 200 or 300 of y'all come at 8:30. If you don't mind, okay? Or if some of y'all who are not just starting to come here and you figure, you know, I like to get up early, come 8:30, there's seats in here, okay? So we can get more of the people outside, inside. So I just want to throw that out to you. But I want to challenge all of you, bring a friend. Your friends need this. They need what you got, okay? Amen? Amen. Let's give these people a hand. We're going to have y'all walk that way. Who's the man? Who's the man? Have them walk that way.